Let me welcome the next person to you. Somebody by your side, say something nice to the person. Say something good, something beautiful. Ask your neighbor, are you in love or is love in you? Or are you out of love? How many people are in a relationship here? Can I see your hand? If you are in a relationship and you did not raise your hand, something is very wrong with that relationship. Whatever is of light, the Bible says, will be made manifest to all. Once you start hiding, once you are not proud of what you have gotten into, you have gotten into a mess. Nobody buys a car. If a person buys a new car and is hiding it from people, he probably stole the car or stole the money that he used to get the car. Any good thing that we experience in life, we want people to know about. We hide the ugly things of our lives. So, if there is, once somebody goes into what we call a relationship, a courtship, dating, or whatever name you have chosen to give it, and you cannot tell people that you have found love or you have found a partner, there is already, the foundation is faulty already. Because if you are old enough to be in love, and if the love is old enough, you'll be proud of it. The moment it's like, don't let us tell anybody. Let us keep it. Which a guy used, and he was dating three ladies in the same church at the same time. Don't tell them, don't let anybody know. You say, I love you, but let's keep it this way. The question should be, why should we keep it? Amen. So this evening, we want to talk about romance and reality. Remember, or romance versus reality. At every point in time, you can write down a question. I'm always more interested in answering questions because they are more practical. They are more direct than teaching. And every single time I have an opportunity of talking about relationship, honestly speaking, at times I get to ask myself, okay, what is it that we are going to say that we haven't said before? And what is new? There is nothing new. The fundamentals of relationship are the same. They are eternal principles. They remain forever. They don't change with time. The mistakes people make from generation to generation are the same. They don't change. It will always come to two things: choices and decision. How equipped you are, how wise you are in taking decisions when it comes to matters of life. And you know, make no mistake about this. A person can be a first-class student. We saw a lawyer in the University of Ibadan. A person can be a first-class student and still be very foolish when it comes to making choices about life. There is nothing, there is no big deal about reading a book and getting results. You can read. And you know, they are beginning to discover that in America, and they are talking about it, that those that are called the best students in school are not necessarily the best. You see, a lecturer can teach you 15 topics and bring questions out of 5. It happened a lot when I was in school. If you have been fortunate to have studied those 5 very well, then maybe somebody focused his attention or attention on topic 10 to 15 and just read other topics from 0 to 10 or 1 to 10 slightly. Someone else read 10 to 15 so much, or read 1 to 10 so much, but only pay little attention to 10 to 15. And then the 5 questions are from 10 to 15. Then you are going to say at the end of the day that this one scored 90 is more brilliant than this. But you see, it's not necessarily so. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. That's why the Bible said that time and chance happen to them all. Everybody say time and chance. So a person can be very, very brilliant in school, but might still make wrong decisions when certain things are not in place. I don't know whether we have time tonight to look at why do people make wrong decisions when they want to make, when they want to choose a life partner. Why is it that some people always make terrible mistakes that they don't seem, they can't just recover from? Now, when I teach on relationship also, I don't like organizing myself. I like saying things. I just pick them here and there because it's voluminous. There are many things to talk about. So when I remember a point and I don't use notes, so I like saying things as they are. For instance, I just remember this now. Any relationship especially as a woman. One of the greatest pains that people have in marriage now is when the woman is the one running the entire home, running the marriage. But I've always said that whatever will be when we are married, the signs are always there when we are dating. Courtship time is the best time to open your eyes. And it will lead me also, one of the things I hope we consider today also is to let everybody know that it is one thing to be able to make the right decisions. Fine, that is the starting point. The next thing that should follow is that ability to make adjustments when adjustments are to be made. You see, the best drivers, they know how to start a car and set out on a journey. But they also know how to adjust based on the topography of the road, how the road looks like. In life, something can start well and go wrong in between. Those who cannot make the necessary adjustments will sacrifice a lot and suffer a lot. So, it is possible, and one of the reasons why I'm saying this is this. I have seen two people who claim that when I pray, God mentioned his name. In fact, God mentioned the middle name itself. He said, Akonde Adewale Adetunde is your husband. And I heard it after 7 days fasting. For some, the friendship started very well. And everybody endorsed the relationship. So, one heard from God. Let's say the other one also just be like, God is in it, but everything is fine. But at a point, maybe 2 years into the relationship, things begin to manifest. Some wrong signs and signals. But because they've not been trained in making adjustment, they believe that because I heard a voice then at the beginning, or because everything was right at the beginning, my parents, everybody said that this is your husband for real. So, because of those assumptions, even when things are going and falling, they want to hold on and hold on and hold on. There is a time to hold on. There is a time to let go. Hallelujah. I said what I said earlier just to let us know that there is nothing like once we have started, we have to automatically marry. No. If there is need to make adjustment, adjustment shall be made. Are you hearing me? And it takes a lot of wisdom and courage to be able to take decisions. See, decisions, that word appears very simple, but at times it's not very easy. But those who have been equipped, those who have been trained, those who have the wisdom, we always know, and then we always have the courage to take a decision when the decision should be taken. Honestly speaking, you will do some people a lot of good by walking out of their life. That is the only time they will change. And I also heard this from one of my pastors, which is very true. When you are complaining about something that somebody is doing in a relationship, and the relationship continues and you are complaining, the way human beings are wired up, that you are with me in spite of my flaws means only one thing. You are comfortable with my flaws. There is a time that you are bargaining power to get a person to change. If you do not use that power, then you cannot change the person again. You see, guys with very bad spending habits, when they were dating their girlfriend, the girlfriend noticed. If at that time she took a decision to stop relationship, that look, guy, you are going to be the father of my children, and I noticed that money can't last in your hand. You keep squandering everything. I do not want to come home one day and hear that you have sold our house. Now that we are not married, see, you know what? I love you. You are a good man. You are a wonderful person. But this thing is too dangerous for me to continue. So you know what? I'm going to say that this relationship is on the hold and I might not come back. You are resetting. That is the only thing that can get him to start resetting. But to be complacent, I don't like the way you handle money. But then you are talking about Shelby. I don't like the way you handle money. You are talking about this. I don't like the way you handle money. You are booking venue for wedding. You are making a big mistake. That attitude will never change. Go and ask women who are married, who are using head and toe to run the relationship, and the man is irresponsible. There is no greater pain than that. Are you with me? And it's as if it's getting more and more common nowadays and our time. I just see a very responsible woman, and you see the man, freelancer. Bring it, let's spend it. And I got a call about a month ago. He was the president of the fellowship on campus. Oh, Lord Jesus. You know, I don't like to be bound by notes. But just before coming here, I just wrote some four things. They are not exactly myself, but maybe so that I can remember. They called me. If you marry because of charisma, it was the president of the fellowship, and this is what most ladies are blind to. Once they think somebody is a superstar, a pastor. You know, campus fellowship, the person is the president, and he has rhema. When he's sharing like this, angels are backing the word. Or is the worship leader and you're a member of the choir. Ladies tend to enjoy when their husband or the boyfriend is the head that everybody respects. However, there is a difference between what a man does and who a man is. You are not going to marry what he does. You are going to marry who he is. The same thing goes for us. So after outleaping, glory. She sings like angel in the church. But you see, what you need in your house is not outleaping. Amen. If she calls you an idiot in the morning, and after abusing you, she begins to say that, amen, amen. What do you think? You see, those things will disappear. You don't see the beauty of the song again. He has called you an idiot. You see an idiot singing. Are you with me? I'm saying that there is a difference between what you do and who you are, and learn to separate the two. A person can be a powerful leader, a powerful preacher, a powerful worship leader, but he can still be an irresponsible husband. And in dating, you will know. But when you know and you allow the charisma to cover it, you move on with the relationship. Once you get close to a person, you begin to see what those afar off cannot see. And because this person will live with you for the rest of your life, you begin to notice that though he's the worship leader, but this guy lies at times. Though he's the worship leader, he doesn't keep to time. Though he's the worship leader, he's bad in handling money. He must buy everything. I heard one English on Facebook recently on the case of those who are trying to divorce, and I'm not talking about anybody, I'm just saying. And I think the woman said that he tries. How did she put it? Zobo, he used a drink, very expensive, or she used a drink, very expensive. She said that he runs champagne, he wants to, how did she put it? On Zobo budget. He wants to live a champagne life on Zobo budget. I said, wow, we are genius in this world. That word has stayed with me. Champagne budget. Champagne life on Zobo budget. All you can afford is Zobo, and you are buying champagne. Your hand is near. Amen. Because Zobo can buy a cup of Zobo for 10 naira. But you know how much champagne, but you want to live a champagne life on Zobo budget. And that's serious. Now, you see all these things. So, I just said that. Let's go. Are you with me? Is somebody following me? Are you getting something at all? Okay, so, amen. You can look at that and be like, that will now guide your decision, what it does or what she does. In life, we make choices. And I think I said it the last time. When a man says to you, or a woman says to you, that this is the person I want to marry, that decision has come from about four or five things. Now, there are variations. It can be six or seven, but we can narrow them down to about four. That decision might have come from, number one, physical appearance. And that's the most common. Now, there is nothing wrong with physical appearance drawing you close to somebody. But all your decisions, as at that point, don't make decision yet other than I want to know this person. If you see somebody that you like the way the person appears physically, It's a call for investigation, not a call for decision. Are you following me? So she is fear. She can be fear and foolish. She is fear. I like ladies that are fear. Fear, tall, long neck, narrow shoulder, frog eye. Which one again is there? Cat walk. Why you are not a cat? Now, you look. That is what you are seeing on the outside. Number two, people make a decision on social or financial status. Now, that one applies directly to ladies. Some men who are gold diggers do the same thing, but it's more common with a woman. He is 32. He has G-Wagon. There was a lady that she has stopped talking to me now. Anytime a woman comes, especially those who don't attend this church, and they come to talk to me, at the moment when they are seeing the lashes of the relationship, they come and talk to you. Then the guy will sweet talk them again. Once you don't see them again, they go back to that relationship. One day, while we were in school, I was playing lawn tennis in the morning. You know, on campus I was a pastor, but then I was leading a fellowship, but I used to enjoy myself, and I still do. I don't have more time to do those things again. I'm still thinking of, one of the things I'm thinking of doing is that when I have the opportunity, I want to go to the coaching school Moreno went to. I love football so much that I want to be a coach. I don't know how to combine it with my spiritual assignment, but I want to be a coach. I don't like the way Eagles is not qualifying for this or that. So Super Eagles, I want to be, that's what I want to be. So I used to, so because our fellowship used to meet Sunday evening from 6:30 to 8:30 on Sunday and 6:30 to 8:30 on Wednesday. The fellowship is still there in UI and that's when they meet. So I used to be free in the morning. At times I would go to church. At times, because we would start praying 2 hours in tongues before the service. So at times I wouldn't go to church. Our church would be in the evening. So almost every Sunday morning, I used to go and play lawn tennis with my friend. And I was playing that day. And this lady called me. And she was groaning in pain that I had to abandon my dear lawn tennis and run. Remember, University of Ibadan, the university, then the teaching hospital. She was a medical student. So I had to go to the teaching hospital. So I drove, and that's about 20 minutes drive from the university itself to the teaching hospital, where the medical students were. So I drove there to go and see her. And when I got in, she was with her closest friend. And she did not tell them why she was crying. She was rolling on the floor. You know, there is, you have people crying. You also have people wailing. Wailing is stronger. She was groaning in pain and crying on the floor. So, she got up. So when I came in, I entered the room. So our best friend sat down. They've been friends from secondary school, our best friend. So she started talking. And then she said to me that, you know, Shola, oh my God. You know, this is serious. That after the abortion I had for this guy, we asked God to forgive us. They said something is wrong with my womb. All those stories said a lot of things. Now said that, can you imagine? The guy was our senior. He's going to do his service now, and I think house job. Service, not house job yet. And he said, I called him 1 a.m. A lady picked the call. So I waited till morning and I called him. And I said, don't you think of lying to me. And he said, I'm sorry. You know, it happened between me and the girl. And so I asked him, was that the first time? He said, no. I said, second time? He said, no. Third time? He said, no. So she dropped the phone and she should have stopped at the second time. Even first time said that. So she dropped the phone and she was crying. Because she felt that, she told me everything. The first time they met, she was a virgin. So she felt that a substantial part of her has been taken away. And that this guy, when we ask God to forgive us and to move on, you are, I didn't plan to go this way. Every lady, hear me here. The thinking of a man is different from the thinking of a woman. If you don't hear any other thing, just go home with that. You are emotional. Men are not. A guy can tell a lady
with tears in his eyes. You know, I love you. I feel it. You are wonderful. And he can tell three others after you with the same emotion or stronger one. You know, I love you. As he's holding your hand, you are thinking, if he held me with force, he meant it. Because when you talk like that, in most cases, it's coming from your heart. When we talk like that, it's coming from our head. Amen. So, are you with me? Let all women understand this very well. Those who are married, they know by now that when a man is looking for sex, he can see anything. He can call you any name. He can say you are more beautiful than Mami Water. Those who are married, they understand. They can just say anything. But you, if you are married, you already know that they don't mean those words. It's because he's looking for something that is saying all those things. Satan, you know you are very beautiful. And some men will be like, when last did you say that? Why did you say that when we're in church? As we're walking into the auditorium, say, sweetheart, you are beautiful. Don't say it inside the room. Say it elsewhere. When we go for wedding, as we are entering the reception, look at me and say, dear, you are so beautiful. Then I will know you are. That one is serious. But the one that you don't say all day long, it is in the night when we are close to the bed that you say you are looking beautiful. Amen. Is somebody with me? You know, I was saying the story before saying the other story. I'm always moving like that. I started with a call that I got. But let me finish with this lady. She, as she was saying those things, her best friend was looking at her. She was like, She was looking at me. She expected me also to be shocked. So she saw that the way her friend was looking, not to her friend, I told Shola everything already. But what shocked her friend was that, you mean all these things happened to you, and I'm your best friend, you never... You made me think this guy was an angel, and you never mentioned it. Do you know that in the midst of all that, she got angry as we were talking, and she told me that the guy, as at that time, think of the worth of 270,000 at that time. That should be like 700K or 800K now. That the guy even borrowed from her. He did not, was not only cheating on her, he cheated her with her money. Collected the money. When he was going to serve, he needed money to buy laptop, to do some things, and this girl laid down everything. And they were both medical, she laid down everything. So she said, right before me, as we were concerned, I just spoke to her some things. I told her, I said, don't worry, just get some, sit down. And then when she got a little better, she called the guy. And I supported her. I said, call. At least, let's start from collect your money back. Other things can come later. Bros, bring my... So she called, and the guy said, okay, we'll send money. That you angry? So I won't tell me, but just say, whether the relationship continue or not, we'll talk about that another day. But the money I borrowed, at least I borrowed you. So just send it back. So we started talking, and I was always sharing God's word with her. I just noticed a period of 1 month, I didn't see her again. I told my friends, she has gone back. The guy left where he was serving and came back to Ibadan. Of course, what I said, started his poem. And by the time the guy finished, they started again, and she blocked me out. I said, no problem. I just decided myself that when the time comes, and how many times has she called then, everything ended up in a very ugly situation. See, there are lines and principles that the Creator has laid down. You cannot beat them. In choosing life partner, there is one law that we always forget, and it is called the law of sincerity. If you are not sincere, now you can be sincere and still make a mistake, we'll talk about that, but if you are not sincere, you are certain to make a mistake. If your decision is not based on sincerity, which is inner truth, you know inside you that there is more to love, there is something beyond that is pushing you. So, you are making that decision basically, probably on outward appearance or the financial level of the guy. The third one is family pressure, peer pressure. There is a kind of guy your friends want you to have. Your friends want this kind of guy. Sometimes ladies will visit a marriage, they go for a wedding. All the guys here, listen to me. See, if you are trusting God for wealth, you are still believing God for wealth, always use time not to let her go for expensive wedding. When she comes back, you are going to fight. Not all ladies, but some. When they see the hall, I do not know why some people enter into unusual and unnecessary rivalry with some other women. You want the kind of all that your friend. You are not your friend. You are not your friend. You are not your friend. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. One of the most popular people in Nigeria, if you talk about top 10 Nigeria, I met a guy whose wife used to be a friend to this man's daughter. And they grew, all of them grew up in UK. And he said he had to tell his wife one day that stop coming home to complain. Your friend's father is one of the top 10 richest people in Nigeria. My father and your own father are not among the top 10,000. Stop this thing. You cannot have what she has. The marriage is broken. I mean, the guy is back to Nigeria now. The lady, maybe she's gone with another man. Because every now and then she will go to these people's house. She must come back to complain. You are not buying this for me. And the guy told her that, look, let's be honest. My father and your father are not in this carcass. God has made this girl your friend, yes. But don't look at everything and try to have the same thing. He said, the name of her father alone can open any door for her. If she says she's turning 40, this is what I'm talking about, her in their 50s. And she says that she's using expensive hotel in America, UK for reception. We can't afford it. Let's do your own 40th in the house. While I started. She will tell the guy, she will come home one day. So-so person said that so-so school, they've given them 50% discount. That is where the children are going. After 50% discount, we are still talking about £50,000. After 50%. And the guy said, hey, come, we don't have this money. He said, look, I can do stunts and make it available one, but how do we continue to pay? And the girl said, no, my own children cannot be going to. Is destiny determined by the school children go to? It should be a good school, but not necessarily the most expensive. So he tried to explain, and over again. So you can make physical appearance, financial status, peer pressure. We can come from family, it can or friends. Friends can begin to shape your ideal man. That is not what is inside your heart, but that is what is being printed there by those who are putting pressure on you. Sometimes families can do the same thing. When they start telling us that this kind of person wants to marry and everything, it goes on and on like that. Amen. And then the fourth one, which I will just call, you can also marry by, you can make a decision by accident. Or let's call it the law of availability. When somebody is always available. Somebody is always available. Especially if you have just gone through a moment, a low moment in your life. Now this happens to, it's a very bad thing. You've lost something or something has happened. You've just lost a job. I remember the guy, it happened to, I said it one time. Up till now, he cannot tell people that this is my wife. Even though love should have made him to do that. But if you remove love and you look at the two of them logically, really, they are not on the same page at all. Very handsome, very educated, very touch. The girl, not very beautiful and not very educated. If you look at the two of them, you might actually think that he was going out with his housemaid or something like that. Really. What happened was that there was a moment in his life that he lost almost everything. As a young man, he had money, came back, he lost a lot of things. So this girl was in the neighborhood. She was always coming to console, to greet, and to help him. So they started getting close. So what will happen in that conversation is that if the guy recovers, remember, he was operating at a level. Now, circumstances have forced him to come down. As at the moment, that low moment, you will be precious to him. But if he regains himself and he goes up again, the difference will show. By the time he regains his wealth and his friends are coming, he will see that those friends and their wives are different from you. And reactions will start. Now, a man that is fully inserted into the love of Christ can find a way around it and still love a woman unconditionally. But not everybody has that level of love in them. Are you with me? That's why you see some men, you never see them with their wife. So where's your wife? She's at home. When they are going for the same wedding, like, my Lord, I'm a bembe. You just go, I'll meet you there. Go. They cannot work together. It doesn't like the idea that everybody's looking at that, this is your wife. If you are not proud, that was what I started with. If you cannot openly introduce the woman you are marrying to anybody, then why do you want to marry her? Amen. So a situation can force people together. Somebody can be spending time with a person, ideally, that is not your choice, but that is the available. Are you with me? If they ask you on a good day to make a decision, even looking at the person from afar, you will actually disqualify the person. It's not what you really want. But you see, you can like anybody when you spend time with them. Hope you know that. Especially if the person is serving you, helping you to do things, helping you to solve one problem or the other, you can begin to like the person, and then when you are married, your eyes are open. Like after eating the forbidden fruit. Then you know that something is wrong. We are not compatible. Have you heard me up to now? Praise the Lord. The first story that I started with, that was said it was the president. And I remember that when they started working, the woman will give the guy her entire salary. She will collect salary like this and give the guy that my husband take care of it. And after about 9 months into the marriage, she stopped giving him and started giving him half. You see, a man that is covetous will like that kind of woman. A man that is disciplined will tell you that, no, keep your salary. If we are doing a project and as my wife, you want to assist me, fantastic. My wife pays children's school fees. She does a lot of wonderful things without even asking me. But you see that you come and carry your salary and say that every month. No, I'm going to tell you that no. Not that anything is wrong per se. But you see, discipline will make us accept some things. Listen to me. If you are dating somebody and they are nice, always coming to collect something, or it's always coming to collect something, please stop immediately. It comes to collect from you every now and then. He says to you that he has a vision. You've never seen that vision. He has a vision that you see, you are helping me now. In the future, I'll be the one. The pattern might not change. Amen. Hallelujah. Even when he wants to travel. Recently, a lady was telling me that, she said, I have to leave the church. I said, well, I don't tell people what to do. Most of those that I've spoken to, you know, I'll just listen to you very well and tell them, so what are you going to do? I can pray with you. I can pray for you when I'm away, but I don't like ruling people's life. I believe you are a Christian. You should be able to take decision on your own. I can explain the pros and the cons to you, and then you take your decision. Because we are not supposed to be responsible. We are not supposed, no, you have to help people to grow on their own. So because she had broken up before talking to me, I told her you took the right decision. She told me that even when I go see this guy and I'm going, he said, I will use my money. When he comes to see me, he will collect transport fare, tow and fro from me. He said, you see, I love you so much, but you see, things are not so. I need to go back now. They were living in two different cities. And she said every single time. So he will call that, I will see you tomorrow. The lady will have to borrow money from some of our friends, because by the time he will be leaving, he wouldn't come with a single gift, but he will go home with her money. I wonder she just got fed up and said that, you see, I want to tell her that, you see, you should have stopped long time ago. You waited till he took part of your money. Before, you should have stopped long time ago. It is, look, a man might not have much money, but you will see dignity in him. If that dignity is not there, don't marry. Are you with me? Amen. My wife was already rising very high in our bank when we met. And I was just starting to pastor. You know, I never lived in Lagos. I left my parents, left everything. I told you before. So, I was a copper in NNPC, Kaduna, the refinery, working, enjoying life and oil money. When I came to Lagos, I grew up in Abeokuta. I went to Investor Ibadan. So, I never had any business with Lagos. My uncle, Senator Mamura, was here. I never passed a night in his house all my life. When he was the Speaker of Lagos State House of Assembly, my brothers were living with him, but for me, no. I could come and visit and I never collected $1 from him. That's why when I want to see my uncle, if I call him now, we have a wonderful relationship, because myself and my brother, I will never. In his house, I've met Tinubu, Fashola, all of them together before. And because it was a parlor party, they thought I too was a big politician. Everybody just, and they were giving me the same respect. The Mopos were saluting me. You know, it feels good to just come and see all those guys with shiny eyes. They see you, they just, you know. So, but I've never, those things, I was courting with my friend. I had nothing. Yet, it's important. I was in a relationship then, and she was in Abuja. And her parents were, her father was in the National Assembly. So she, from a very wealthy home. A wonderful lady from Anambra. Wealthy family, as in extremely wealthy. The time that when when she was in final year, she could tell her father that, one is not something that daddy is owing me some money, that let me just chance him. And the father gave her $500,000, as students, then. You know. Of course, it started showing. I was just here. And you know, she would sneeze and she would expect that she enter the next flight and come and check her. And there were friends who could do that for her. If I had the money, I would, but I didn't. And it started showing. She would call me, you know, she was on permanent, she could call. And then one day, for the first time, as she was talking, her credit finished. I said, please call me back. So I called her. And my credit. And she was like, I don't understand. You know, I know you are trying to study what, but I've always called and I said, dear, credit has finished. And I'm not going to ask you for my, I said, don't worry, God will do a miracle, I will reload and call you back. She got angry and the crack started, you know. But when she told me that, see, it's over, I understood perfectly. I didn't get offended. It was a painful thing, but I didn't get offended. I just knew God was preparing something better. And I did not hold it against her. She tried. She tried her best. Really. She was used to the children of rich who could just... I mean, she would call a friend. I can ask them, see, I'm a little low on cash. And then they wire $1 million to accounts. And then she would call the fiance. And you start telling story. Now you see. And I understood perfectly. She loved me. But you see, reality separated us. If she wanted to walk more in love, I believe she could have done something about it. But I'm not holding it against her. It's okay. She tried her best, to the best of her ability. Amen. And I remember one day I just said to myself that I won't go back to beg my... I could have tried to impress her. My parents had 3 or 4 cars. I could have gone home to take one to start saying. But I said to myself that no, God says she comes to me. I'm not going to go to Abeokuta. If I beg my... If I told my father, I say this is a matter of love, they would have arranged me also. So look a little okay. But you see, those things don't last. You are who you are. And let people know who you are. Amen. Well, if we are to do a rematch now, but God forbid, but that won't be a problem anymore. Because God brought someone else. And everything changed. But there must be dignity. Are you with me? Is somebody following me? At the end of the day, she started cutting the money. She did not realize when they were in school that though this guy was very spiritual, but he had problem with handling money. And that can be a very serious issue. They got married. They covered everything spiritually or covered everything one another, and then they got married and they entered into trouble. She quickly dictated. I was told they did not know the day the guy woke up one night and started beating her, a man of God. And the neighbors called the pastor of the church they were attending. The pastor didn't believe that you, I've known you as a spiritual giant on campus, beating your wife because she's not giving you money again. You see, if intelligent people were watching when they were dating, they would have told that lady that can't you see a trend? God would be unjust to let some things be happening only after marriage. The flashes are always there before marriage. You can choose to ignore, but they are always there before the marriage. Are you with me? Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm getting to an end. Listen to me. We have learned that man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. It is true. I'm coming to a close. Now, man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. Man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. Man is a spirit. You have your soul. The first love affair that we had, I especially, and then we have your body. When we say we are compatible, we are talking about three things. We are compatible spiritually. Listen very well. Religion is a sensitive matter. One of our ladies here called my wife and said that she just broke up with the guy. I think after introduction. And the guy said, he goes to a church, I must not mention, where, like Pastor Boju said, imagine you are a Word of Faith church, and then you are sleeping on your bed, and your wife is touching your head. I put fire in your head, fire in your hand, fire in your chest, fire in your intestine. What would you say? I'm going to explain a concept I explained before, talking about compatibility, but follow me. Spirit, soul, and body. Spirit is how you view God and everything about Him. How should prayer be? One time a lady came to see me, and the person wanted to marry goes to Sele, and said that I was brought up in Sele. The Bible commands that when we pray that there is no other name under the sun which man should be saved. But in some, where I was growing up, my father is still a senior evangelist in Sele. I told my father one day, why do you pray by Jehovah Jesus Christ only Michael? That's how they pray in Sele. That is not in the Bible. My father accepted. So once there is no agreement spiritually, look, it is not a simple issue. It's a serious matter. There can be two things. There are nice guys, very nice. They allow you to do your thing. You might not go to church, you can even drop in church. Fine. But you see, that does not even solve the problem. There is going to be a weight you carry forever. It can be the type that is not aggressive and gentle. He allows you to pray. Even if you say you are bringing the whole church to your house, he won't say no. But it still does not rule out the fact that you are dragging somebody with you spiritually who does not share what you believe spiritually. This lady here in the guy's church, father and die, don't wear your ring, don't do this, don't do that. She followed him one Sunday to their church, and as soon as she got there, she just knew that I cannot be here. And she told the guy, if I start going to this church, I will die as a young girl. You know the meaning? I'm saying, there's no life here. I can't flow here. In the early days of, I've seen many people, when we first left school, I know this lady, very excited about the things of God. I mean, this girl, what kept her alive from school days, program, choir, concert, was just part of her. And then she met a guy that didn't fancy all those things. I said, but I love him. They got married, he killed that aspect. One, if you go for somebody who will kill what you are very excited about. I have heard of a woman that gave church a car that she bought with her money. The following day, her husband went to that church and collected the car back. That's why that I'm married. You know, that's why I usually ask. If you want to give church, somebody, I will ask you, that is your husband aware of it? I don't want any man to come and fight me. Amen. I just said, discuss with your husband. If God lays anything in your heart, just first of all tell you. If your husband says no, no problem. So be it. God does not need any help. So keep your stuff. Are you with me? This is important. Compatibility spiritually is the most important. Now, people vary. We are different. If you don't send spiritual things, you do have problem. I'm doing this teaching not only for Christians. Listen to me very well. If you don't send spiritual things, so you have to start with these three things I said. Your spirit, your soul is how you reason, your exposure in life, your will, your intellect, and all those things.
When you say that is why a medical doctor might not marry a pepper seller. The two of them can be the same church, praying in tongues and praying the same way. But you see, he is very educated, well exposed. So at the level of their spirit, they are the same. But at the level of their soul, they are, you understand? So how a professor will reason is different from how the woman selling beans or a widow by the road will reason. They can both be Christian. They can even go together for evangelism to reach out to people. But you see, they are thinking, at thinking level, they are wide. They are two, I mean, they are two on two different pages. So you cannot be together. Is somebody hearing? Praise the Lord. And then when you talk about body also, there are people that you will get attracted to, or they get attracted to, and there are people that they will never get attracted. I mean, physically, somebody can be in the same, and many of you saw it in school. There are people in your class that even for 1 million naira, maybe not so, sure. Let's say for 500,000 naira, you will never date. Maybe for $1 million, you might change your mind. You are in the same class. Now, probably the person is also a Christian. So you are in the same class, maybe you are also in the same campus fellowship. But you cannot, not because you hate him, not because you don't like him, but he just doesn't fit, or she doesn't fit into what you think a relationship should be like, or who you want to marry. Are you getting me? That means we come across people every day. There is no connection. When they say, let us pray, you can pray with her. When they say, let us go out, you can go out for evangelism with her. When they say, let us sit down in class and discuss our course, you can discuss your course with her. But when it comes to chemistry, there is none. She does not look like how you want your wife to look like. It does not look like how you want your husband to look like. You want your husband to be very tall. He is very short. Very. So already you just rule him out that, okay, he's a good person. I can gist with him, but it does not even cross your mind. Even if you are 35 and you are not married, and it comes your way, you will still say no. As a woman. You understand what I'm saying? You have people like that around you. You don't have a problem with them. You like them, but you cannot marry them. Something in you does not accept that this is the kind of person I should marry. But there is nothing wrong with the person. That is physical compatibility. Now listen. We are different. Put the greatest. So if we say these three compartments, they make 100 points. How do you apportion the points? I will say, put 50 on which is most important to you. If you are low spiritually, but you are high intellectually, that is what stimulates you. Put 50% of the GP you apportion to the person on soul. So, when you meet a woman or a man, your judgment, the greatest mark you are going to score the person, will come from how you connect soul to soul. If you value spiritual things, which is the most important, listen, put about 60% on spiritual, your how compatible are we spiritually? Score that over 60, let the rest be 20-20. I'm saying that the first thing is, so before you start saying, are we compatible? The first thing you should unravel is, where am I in life? If I divide myself into three, what mark will I give each part of me? Which part is very important? If you are a physical person, you are moved by what you see. Moved by what you see. So people are like that. They are perfection. And they have a picture of the girl. The way our body shape must be. The way our face, our breasts, our shape. I can be wrong. Stop looking at me like that. Stop looking at me so much. If you are less than it, you shouldn't have been. Are you with me? That you think about all those things. They mean a lot to you. You are so much drawn to ladies who look in a particular way, and you are helplessly drawn to them. Helplessly. When you see a woman that looks like what you want, you can't but look and look and look. So, the first thing is to find out who am I and what is important. I remember
Pastor Boy told us one story many years back. This guy married, I think at that time they even separated the husband and wife, and they said that he met an old friend in school. When they were in school, they were best of friends, guy and girl, but they couldn't date because maybe sexually or chemistry, no connection. But they were just friends. And when he separated from his wife, he traveled to another country and met this girl who came for vacation in the same place. You know that they went swimming together, they talked for hours in swimming pool, sat down to eat together in the same hotel, and they went to their room. Nothing. But the guy was now asking other friends that the friendship I have with her is unusual. When we start talking, time will fly. But sexually, we are not. I'm going to say that, you see, the reason why I call this romance versus reality is this. I'm skipping. Lord help me. Ultimately, there is no perfect man or perfect woman. And there is no perfect scenario. Choices will be made. And what will help is that if you score yourself what I've just said, if something goes above 80%, you can go for it. But you just don't score. You have to start with what is the most important thing to you. And that is where the strongest GP or mark should be on. Amen. Have you written some exams before? They will say that this session carries 60% of the exam. And then there are some, they are just one mark. You can do well in those ones, but this one, it will disqualify you. So they will tell you some essay question that this question carries 10 marks. Why some questions 1 mark? Just one. So you have to find out what is the most important thing to me. Now I said they should let it be romance versus reality, because many times in what you like, you will find something you don't like. Are you with me? They can say we are Igbos, we don't marry Yoruba, but the best guy that you have seen is from the tribe that your parents have won, not only one, they have been able to swear on your behalf that if you marry from that tribe, cause and you'll find, oh, the most friendly person is not as rich as the one that is dancing around you. This one that you like and that is very, very friendly is also very, very broke. And you are thinking. And then this one that looks like a ready man to go with has some character flaws, some things, and then you are thinking, what do I do? Are you with me? This one that prays exactly the way I want my husband to be praying, that has the kind of fruit of the spirit I want in a man, he does not have a job. He's telling me where we are going to live, that he wants to relocate from Lagos to Edo State or Benin, and I don't want to go to Abeokuta. He wants to go to Abeokuta. That he says that there's a business he wants to run. I don't see myself going to Abeokuta to settle down. But out of all my male friends, this is the most faithful and this is the nicest. This is a guy that I know that I can trust. He will not even cheat on. But the way he's going, planning his future, is different from what I want for myself. What do I do? Are you following me? This one that is not very beautiful, she's the most decent and well-cultured. This one is the yellow color I love. But she's naughty. Are you following? So we find these things at times. And decisions have to be made. Lord Jesus. You know, I feel like stopping it. The people are looking at me. I know that I'm getting into your heart. And sometimes the questions are coming. Are you the anointed one, or should I wait for someone else? You understand? Sometimes the questions are coming. Should I manage and go on? Or do I wait a little more? Will I find somebody that fits exactly into what I want? What about if I say no to this person and he goes? And 2, 3 years, 4, 5 years after that, I never find a better person. Not even a match for this one. What do I do? Mm.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Have you heard me today? How many people can relate to what I've just said right now? Can I see your hand? Give me a witness. Can I see your hand up there? Praise the Lord. Go back to where what I started with, and I'm going to end with what I was saying earlier. Spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. One man said, Pastor Body said something one time. All the wars that are going on in the world now, ISIS, Boko Haram, this one, that one, they are based on religion. Religion is a mighty thing. It is a starting point that you must not compromise. The first place you look at is somebody that resembles you spiritually. In the days of old, deliberately, they will tell you to go and marry from your tribe. Have you read that in the Bible before? Abraham called his servant and he said, I swear, I don't want Isaac my son to marry from strange women here. They call them strange. He said, when you want to marry, go to my father's house and choose a wife. And I shared when we are betrayed. How many of you, some of you will remember, I did a teaching and I called the title, Marry from Your Tribe. And I quickly explained that. Tribe in those days was limited to people. You need to look at the word. What is the meaning of a tribe? People bound by common tradition, practices, or belief system. Common patterns or common ways of doing things. That's a tribe. Or common language. That's a tribe. The same language, the same culture, the same attitude. That's a tribe. We know that in our world, it has changed totally. So you cannot say tribe in our time again and limit it to people bound by common language. For instance, many of you here are Igbos. Here you cannot speak Igbo. You've lived all your life in Lagos. When they speak Igbo, you cannot respond. Now you are Igbo. And your name is Ijoma. And you cannot speak one sentence. Actually, there's one Ijoma there. She can't actually speak Igbo. Really. I just said that. She was laughing. And I remember that truly she's Ijoma. She can't speak Igbo. And your name can be Chigoze. There's Pastor Chigoze there. And he can't speak much. Or there's Pastor Ebele. His own is more terrible. Pastor Billy can't speak Igbo. He just knows he's from Imo State. Pastor Goze is from Anambra, and the two of them cannot speak. Now, are you with me? Pastor Goze can still try because he went to UN. By the way, Pastor Goze, I'm looking for a wife for him. I'm sure he has said I should not say these things. So, you can apply. Amen. He's a great guy who has not married all these days. So he's a great guy. If you come to church last 7 days, you'll be seeing him because he's around. He lives on water. He works with an oil company, and so he's in Port Harcourt. He's always on water every now and then. And I told her, now that you have come to the land, look for a wife. There's no wife on water. I said, Manu water. Amen. So we are applying. He's a spiritual man. He's a very handsome man. And then, oil company. What? He needs a woman. So, see me after the service. If you're interested. I'm in charge. So, I'll do the screening for him. Amen. I'm sure he will forgive me after the service. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. By the way, this one also will forgive me. He's already looking down. Dr. Bailey also. Let me talk to the two of them. Adam Bailey is also a doctor, he's a medical doctor, and he's a wonderful man. He's a man of God. But he has refused to show us any sister. So if you are interested also, you can apply. You don't have to be from Imo State. Just be a Christian. Are you with me? I'm sure there won't be any application. It's just a joke. Please, they are not looking for wives. They need, but they are not looking for. They need. We'll get them one day. Time is going. I gave them to December last year. I said, if they don't show me, then I will start helping them to announce that, Lord, send a woman to these two pastors. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Tribe is now redefined. And that is what I'm trying to get. So I'm trying to explain to us the logic of our forefathers in saying that you should marry. They concluded, they found out that people who speak your language, people who have your culture, are the best people to experience peace with. Your taboo is their taboo. Your food is their food. Your language is their language. Fine. You and I live in Lagos. So the period that was out, their wisdom, and we can learn something from there. Don't look at it raw. Just extract the principle. What they are trying to get is to get people to have a safe marriage where the man you respect so much is the man your husband respects so much. The God, let's say Ogu or Shango, that you worship so much is the God that your husband worships. The food that you love so much is the food that your husband loves. They believe that when that is done, there will be peace. And they were right to a large extent. So let's extract the principle that made them to have lasting marriage than now. But if you paint it wrong right now, you'll make a mistake. Somebody can be from your own town and not know jack about your own town. Like I'll give you some example. So the principle in it is that they put down that law saying that go and marry from your own town. God said the same thing to Abraham. Old Testament was a shadow. This is substance. So take the principle out. And what can we learn from it? What we can learn from it is this. This is the principle. It is very, very safe or safer to marry somebody who believes what you believe. Somebody who views life the way you view life. That is what you call physical and spiritual and emotional compatibility. So that you can sit down in the house. When you are gisting, you talk, you are going along the same direction. When you say, I want to give tithes. When you say, let's go to an orphanage and give. The way you view life is the same. Once somebody says, the Bible is my final authority, and somebody says, a Bible or no Bible, you are already in two different nations. Problems are inevitable. When a man and a woman believe that the word of God is the final answer, if they have an issue, and somebody says that this is what the Bible says, the one that is wrong will surrender. But if somebody does not exactly be like, well, Bible somewhere, and so what? No, this is what I believe. There is a problem already. Do not joke with spiritual contamination. Actually, it almost all, I would call it 80%. Don't joke with spiritual compatibility. Don't joke with it. Amen. Don't manage it. You can't manage it. Do you know how many women are not really happy? You know, Pastor Bojo also told us something. When they were unilike, and I'll say the same thing. There are guys, by now, they should be the popular men of God you are hearing about. You are not hearing about them because they decided to tag along with a woman who did not really want to have anything to do with ministry, just want to be a simple Christian. You have to measure where are you going in life. And the apostle must be going your direction. Not only that, be willing to go at the speed with which you are going. A young man believes that God has called him to start a church and not work. You know that you will suffer at the beginning. There are some things we have to face. And you are marrying somebody who does not want that kind of thing. She wants her husband to be earning money. She knows that Nigeria is very hot and she needs AC in her bedroom. And she needs a generator that can power the AC. And she needs an inverter that will work when there is no light. And you are like, you see, we are just believing God. I say, what is believing God? When you have salary, you buy things. I don't believe in believing God. Think properly about this. That is the most important compatibility. Then the soul follows. The least is the physical appearance. Physical appearance, all these things outside, they are the windows and the gate through which you see outside. So I can see a beautiful lady and you get close, get attracted to her, you come, you start talking, you are building friendship. When you get close, begin to investigate, check. When it comes to our soul, are we compatible? When it comes to our spirit, are we the same? Are we from the same tribe spiritually? Once it is not so, please leave the idea. If you do, you carry a body forever. If she's a gentle person or he's a gentle person, it's not I will give you so much, but you know you are carrying weight. There is nothing as painful as a very spiritual woman dragging a carnal husband along. It's a very painful thing to experience. I've met some like that. That's why some people, when they were on campus, they were the superstars. They will talk, and some of us will even keep quiet. But then you wonder where they are. They are just in the house of a man who has no value for spiritual things. They are just there. They've wasted all the anointing there. All the singers you see on the stage now, like Tiwa Abela, they are not necessarily the best. Some people were better than them on campus. Where are those people now? They lost it to making wrong decisions in marriage. I remember I told you this story. She came to see me one day. She told me that at age 18 in ULAC then, she was already acting. She's about 40-something now. So she came to see me and she was like, she didn't mind, I was much more younger. She said, I'm going to talk to you. And then she started pouring out her heart. Show me some pictures that she took then. All these Nollywood people you are talking about, that she would have been ahead of all of them. Before they started happening, she was already happening, acting. And she met this guy. Her parents forced her to marry the guy. The guy was about 40 then. He had money. At the time she was talking to me, they had no money again. Sometimes parents push people into something wrong because they wanted a return. She married the guy, and the guy told her that in this house, no. He stopped her from acting on video, acting everything. The producers came to her. They were almost weeping. She was their best star. But her husband said, no acting again. I don't want acting. But I said, actors are always very promiscuous. So he stopped her. And he stopped. Initially, he was giving her money. When he stopped her, she was already feeling bad. But you see, they were still having money. Then when the money finished, the guy located back to the east. The woman was just here in Lagos. So now the marriage is over. 3 kids and they are not talking. Stopped her from her dream. She told me that, Pastor, I am too old to go back to Nollywood. Now it's painful. Say, mention anybody in Nollywood. I was ahead of them. Until I met this man who stopped everything. And he said, I told my parents in tears. They said that, you see, he's trying to help you. He will set you up in business and the rest of it. She sold herself. She sold her future to one man. God didn't create a woman to sell herself, sell what you want to be. God has created you that a man should help you all the more to be what you want to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Begin to write down your question. I want to stop here. Oh Lord Jesus, we worship you. See, I feel like sleeping. Lord Jesus, we worship you. If you need the ushers to give you paper, ask for paper, right? Can I have the second mic if you want to ask question? And I'm going to get, please, I will take that for a while. I will want every one of us to pray together. Some things can only be resolved by prayer. And I want to pray for everybody. None of you will make any wrong decision in Jesus' name. The courage to pull out, to make the necessary adjustment when need be, should be made. Remember what I started with. If you are uncomfortable with something that somebody your relationship with is doing, and if it's something very big, tell the relationship stops until the thing changes. If you continue to go along and you are complaining, you have just signed that you are willing to complain for the rest of your marriage. Use the leverage you have now, which is to stop. Stop. Just say stop. If a guy is always wanting to have sex with you, and you know that is wrong, tell him that next time you ask for it again, the relationship ends. It will not. Take a stand. Help him to stand. Help people to do the right thing. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. If he doesn't do money very well and it's always very wasteful, or somebody is abusive, he talks to you and you're here to tell him that now you talk like this again, we end this relationship and don't look back. Take your stand. If he doesn't marry you, when he meets the next person, he will be careful in how he talks. Don't encourage people to demonstrate don't encourage character flaw. Don't help people to hype and build it. Don't. One of the reasons why they don't steal in Saudi Arabia is that they will cut off your hand if you do. You see, when you allow something, it grows. And it grows. And it grows. And it grows. When you allow it, it grows. You tell him, I don't like what you are doing. But you are still going to see him. Relationship continues. He sends you SMS and then you are telling him. You are telling him that, you see, I'm just complaining. If you are serious about it, tell the guy, it stops here. People usually respect that kind of thing. Amen. Hallelujah. If your relationship here and he has slapped you before, I feel so sorry for you. Do you need him to shoot you before you know that you should move? Why don't you go get the one that will not slap you? Now, if he has repented and he will never do it again, fine, you will know. It's important. But to just continue and be managing, that you see, and you are the one making excuses for him. When he's angry, that is when he does that. See, Olu is gentle, but when he's angry, is he the only one that gets angry? Others get angry and don't hit. So why don't, I mean, don't people make excuses for something? You are helping them to be. He's treading a path of destruction, and you are helping him more and more. But I said, you see, making it, you see, it's not really like that. That's the way he is. He's, when he's angry, he's always calling people stupid people. He only says that when he's angry. It's somebody with the second mic. If you have a question, you can raise your hand, they will give you the mic. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay. I will take some written questions and if... Okay, they will project some. Let me start with... Are we ready? Okay. No, I didn't end very well. Okay, let's shout amen. You know, I did not say point 1, point 2, point 3. I just spoke to you from my heart. Is that okay? Praise the Lord. I am very compassionate towards... I have compassion for ladies. It pains me when they are in the wrong hands. But many of them sell themselves to all these things. How many women have I spoken to in my life who are not happy? Almost every week. And you wonder why? It pains me more when I see the ones that were in school together... with all the prayers, all the things we did together, all the fasting, who are still making wrong decisions. Something that they can circumvent. You cannot. The Bible says God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, the same he will reap. The meaning is that the day a man begins to reap what he does not sow, he has mocked God, and no man can mock God. Principles cannot be broken. You can't. It's impossible to stay awake every day for 1 year and not sleep and not fall down. Because part of you, the principle of life demands that you should sleep at a certain time of the day. So you stay awake 24, the following day 24, 24, and like that. You won't live long, and God won't do anything about it. Men have been anointed who have healed the sea before, but for not obeying simple laws of hell, they broke down at the end of the land, the anointing could not heal them. Principles cannot be broken. You may appear to be getting by for a while. If I take a sachet of sugar and I drop the whole thing in the cup, and I'm taking 20 cubes every day, it might not show immediately, but certainly it will show. I will suffer for it. All ladies say, stop thinking that you cannot help a man to be spiritual. You are not the Holy Spirit. Only God can do that. Do what you can do and let God do what he can do. Don't attempt to do God's work. You will kill yourself. Because nobody is God. God is God. You are a man. Or you are a woman. Amen. It's important we register this in our hearts. Amen. People always think that they can just go, every shortcut will eventually cut life short. Things are plain. Sincerity. Let your love be sincere. If you love someone, let it be a sincere love. Remember, one day you're going to have a daughter and they will do the same to your daughter. Walk in love, genuine love towards people. If it's not genuine, leave it, because it will show one day why you are in that relationship. Amen. Hallelujah. So many people have started rich and they are not rich again. Riches develop wings and it flies away. It does. I remember the story Pastor Tony Bacardi told us. It's a very sad story. When the wife almost made the same mistake also of a guy that was telling, you know, he was asking her, he was a lawyer then and he had nothing. They were just starting out life. But she saw prosperity. She just saw that there was something unique about this. The relationship started. She just came from abroad. And there was a guy that had Mercedes Benz then, asking the wife out also, and disturbing her. And there was a day they had planned to go out together, to go and buy food, or to go to an eatery. But when they came to the house, and then the guy came later, and the wife went out to meet him. They sat inside the car, talked for a while, and told the wife that was taking her out. So she came back in and told Pastor Bakari, and he said that, you see, dear, I'm sorry, won't be able to go out again. I want to go to, my friend is around, want to go somewhere. Pastor Bakari, that's why I said that as a man, have dignity. He got up and he told her, you follow him, the relationship ends now. And she saw the seriousness on his face. So she went out and told her, no, my friend in the house doesn't like that. So you go. Many years after, they were both in tears when the man came to their house to borrow money for a child's school fees. The wife cried more that I could have just ended up this way. You know, some other men will say that because she's fine, she studied abroad, I will stomach it. Learn. You might not have anything, but you have Jesus. and you have your future waiting for you, take a stand. Amen. Hallelujah. A lady says that, you see, I'm a princess. You are a commoner. I will marry you, but for now, my people must not see you. When they see you, you are ugly. And she's doing that, and you are like that, you know. Okay, they said they will see me one day. You know what I mean? Learn to take a stand. If they won't see me, no problem. Go for somebody they are willing to see. God will take care of me. We are not slaves of men. We stand. And we don't worship money. When you are like that, money will rush after you one day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. I am very ambitious and love to conquer. How do I keep this trait from happening in my relationship? I am beginning to find relationship boring because I think I've conquered the challenges. I am looking for something more to conquer. I understand. Some are like that. They are go-getters. They are go-getters, and but you have not conquered your own life now. You are still living. You have not conquered your parents. They are still alive. Your wife or the woman you are planning to marry is like your sister. You've been living with your sisters for years and you are not tired of them. You've been living with your mother for a long time. You are not tired of her. Your mother has always been your mother. She will continue to be your mother as long as she lives. Transfer the same thing to your wife. Let your wife be your wife no matter what. So among the things you are achieving, you are not achieving walking away from your parents is not included. Walking away from your wife should not be included also. They are two different things. Okay? Hope I've answered that person. Just always remind yourself always, I can conquer in the business world, I can conquer in a professional world, I can conquer an examination, but my girl that I want to marry is a living person like my mom. With all the things I've conquered, I still love my mom, I still call her my mom. The same thing, love your wife and still call her your wife no matter what you have conquered. Praise the Lord. So, Pashola, are you saying for every flaw we see, we should end the relationship? It depends on the flaw. Flaw is relative. Flaw can be, he likes to sleep. And when he's sleeping, he snores. Flaw can be, he's shy. He doesn't like talking in public. Those are small, small things. And a flaw can also be, anytime he sees any other girl, he wants to have sex with them. That's a flaw. So, I'm saying that you have to be more, I will appreciate if you are more, tell me the flaw that you are talking about. And we all know whether it's a type that you can accommodate or not. I think that's it. So, flaw is very relative. Some flaws are manageable. They are not any serious issue. You know, why some are serious issues. But whether it's serious or not, it depends on who is accepting or who is not accepting. That's part of it again. Alright? Yeah. How can one manage a long-distance relationship, different countries, from the initial stage? As in from the beginning. Personally, I don't usually encourage this. Except you've been together and then the person has now traveled. But it does not mean things cannot happen or something cannot happen that way. In managing this, it depends on who you are dating. Now, we know from experience, over 70% of this kind of thing, they don't usually work. By the time you get to meet the person and you come close, it's not always what you have thought at the beginning, in most cases. That does not mean there are not some exceptional cases, but in most cases. So how to manage is that you can never be sure until you meet the person and spend time with the person to know whether that is exactly what you want or not. The grass is always looking very green at the other side until you come close. Really. Amen. Praise the Lord. Last month, I was driving and some people were, Pastor Joshua is aware of the case also, or we both know the guy actually. He had brought her here for me to see before. It's this kind of thing. She was abroad and he was here and all those things that happened. And you know, they got married. The following after their wedding, they came here. He was showing me the lady here. She schooled abroad. He schooled here and everything. He wanted to travel out. This is a very painful story. Almost 10 people here will know the person I'm talking about because he told everybody. He was going to travel out. And to go and do his PhD, and then she started telling him that, use your single name. Now, don't say you are married. Use your single status. And he said, but I've traveled out before for my marriage. Now I'm married, so I have to let them know I'm married now. She said, no, don't tell them. After hot debate, she now told him the truth. I see, if you mention at the American embassy that you are traveling, that you are now married to also person, the name will pop out and they will tell you, so actually, I've been married before. The guy was like, huh? You? Said yes, that when she was studying there, she was married and she was living with a guy. Now they separated. And that was the worst part of it. As at the time they were talking, she was helping the guy to perfect the divorce paper. She's a citizen, the guy not. So she wanted to help the guy get a paper and it would take 5 years. So she was helping the guy. And they were on the fourth year then when he told the husband. Can you imagine? So the guy said, number one, illegally you are helping somebody to get papers and you are married to me. And you did not even talk about it. Of course, the marriage ended right there. When the guy told me, I told her that find out very well, maybe there's more to it. It is very illogical. I think a lot for a woman. You said the guy, you helped him, you got an apartment, and he threw you away one day. And 4 years after he has thrown you away, you are still helping him to perfect papers to be a citizen. The normal reaction of a woman is that to cancel all arrangements. I told the guy that maybe you should check very well. Maybe there is a baby between them that the guy is using to hold that to ransom. It's not normal for a guy to cheat on you, chase you out of the house, go and marry somebody else. And 3 years after, you are still helping him to fill documents. Because they are lying to American government that they are still together. And, you know, they will send papers to him, send papers to her, and she will sign that he's still my husband. With all he did to you, something is not connecting somewhere. Distant relationship. Let me tell you the truth. This is the truth. The first day he told me about this lady, there was a reaction in my spirit, but I don't like talking about things like this. Was I surprised when she told me? When he told me, I wasn't surprised, really. So I usually tell people that be careful. Be careful about long distance stuff. I think that get to know the person, really. Otherwise, you perfect everything online. You talk. You know, nowadays you use Skype to talk. Karata, I know they show for Skype. Now, face the show. Use Skype to talk, and then you marry. Then you start discovering some things. Amen. How can one manage? Okay, next one. Anybody with a question, raise your hand. They will take a mic to you. Or somebody wants to be open enough. I don't want to be, everybody wants to be asked in secret. Okay. Okay, I've not read this once. Okay. So I've been dating an older lady for 3 years. And the marriage is not forthcoming. Because I'm yet to attain a status where I can fend for my family. I'm scared to end relationship because I don't want to break her heart. What can I do? Does she love you? Do you love her genuinely? Do you want to spend the rest of your life with her? Is she willing to wait for you? If she's willing to wait for you, why not? Why do you want to break it? If she loves you, and you love her, and she's willing to stay with you, and she's willing to wait for you to get things okay, you don't need to break the relationship. But if you are thinking of breaking up, there must be a reason for it. Amen. Considering the trend of social media, and particularly about celebrity marriage issues, we cannot neglect this cause. Many ladies have started believing, taking to media and announcing their griefs in their house is the best, or their grievances. Sir, is it proper to announce to the world what to face in your relationship simply because you want to help others? Do those things really help people? They don't help people. If you want to help somebody, talk to the person you want to help. Broadcasting what you are going through in a relationship on Facebook, number one, you are not protecting the guy. If there's an issue between you and a guy and you want to walk away, leave it between you and him and walk away. But don't make him look bad to every other person. Now, if you want to share the story, you can remove your name from the story. If you feel this is a story that will bless some young girls and help them, share the story without putting the proper name of the person and your name. So at least what you want us to learn is the moral of the story, not to indict anybody. So share the story without putting your name. It's okay. You can share stories without putting your name. Use imaginary names. Is that okay? My take on... What is this one? Apportioning of percentage to spirituality, soul, and show be based on individuals. We are wired in a different way. I think I said that. I said, first of all, know yourself before you start scoring. I think I said that. So, yeah, you only say what I've said before. That's good. Thank you. Amen. That was why I said that already. It depends. I said, my message is not even for Christians alone. If you think, I said, put this biggest mark on or point on your strongest area. That's what I said. Okay? Well, we've been courting with this girl for about 6 years now. I loved her so much with everything. I provided for all she wanted as a man, just to make her happy. She never worked or collected salary all through our dating. Until one day, she woke up one morning and said she was not interested in the relationship again. Meanwhile, she was dating a guy at my back. Why she called her a cousin or brother? What should I do? Because she said she was not interested anymore. But she was a good girl. A good girl? I'm going to do something the next edition. I'm going to, by the grace of God, maybe the next edition, I'm going to teach people how to be tough inside. Don't be emotional. You see somebody cheating behind you, dating someone behind you, you are calling the person a good person. You see, some of us are weak emotionally, so it makes us to misinterpret something. Somebody's doing something wrong, but she appears very nice. Maybe she's cooking for you, and then you change the whole thing. That's why a guy will come and lie to a lady also. See, when you are emotionally weak, it will be very easy for you to be manipulated. You have to be tough. Or more, better, you have to be truthful. Don't be emotionally weak. Don't be emotionally weak. Amen. Don't be emotionally weak. One lady was talking to her pastor one day and she started crying. Oh, pastor. And she hugged the pastor and then kissing started. Say, pastor, can you touch my back? I will ask you, so what's the problem with your hand? Touch your back yourself. Don't be emotionally weak. It's wrong. You can be manipulated when you are like that. You know, some ladies, when you want to discuss serious issues, they start crying. Pastor Limbaugh taught us many years ago, when your wife is like that, your spouse like that, your girlfriend especially, anytime you want to ask her important question, she turns, she starts crying. Anytime you ask me, that is, it breaks my heart. You see, as a gentleman, buy handkerchief. Give her. You have to be patient, just wait. When she's true, you can buy a bottle of Coke. Say, as we were saying. So, what did you do in university? You better ask. But some, a weak person will be like, I don't want to offend her. That question of asking her how her life was in university, it grieves her. It makes her cry. So I'm not interested in her past. Ah. You choose to move on with a lady regardless of her past, but you should know the past. Someone that loves you will follow you no matter what. You have had 25 abortions. I don't know whether somebody has had that record. That's like a record number. You have slept with 1,000 men. When genuine love meets you, those things, they don't mean anything. They brought a woman who got her womb damaged out of abortion. She did the last one and they removed her womb and she was bleeding. But that it was a quiet doctor. And after that one nearly killed her, they brought her to another hospital. And there was this Christian doctor who was helping her. And when she got well, he came to her house one day with flowers and proposed to her. you know, for like one that's just opened about that. Don't, are you not a, sorry, are you a doctor? Or they said you are a doctor? Because I, you know, that was our thing, that if you are a doctor, you should understand of all people that I was brought to your hospital because the womb is completely gone. So you should know what you're asking. And the answer, I know that that is the more reason why I want to marry you. They have three kids now. Love will break through anything. So when somebody loves you, even that story will be the attraction. That's it. You don't go about telling anybody your part, but when you see serious, is serious enough, and now he wants to know, of course you should. If you don't, when he gets to know somehow, trust is destroyed from that marriage forever. Amen. The question will be like, why didn't you tell me? Like it happened to a particular lady. She wanted to, but she decided not to. She had slept with the guy's uncle before. When she was in school, she was doing her restore, and then she got born again and everything, and then she, and on their wedding day, she kept looking at the guy. The guy noticed that there was a kind of reaction between, but he just couldn't place it. Long time after marriage, so about the second year or so, went to see the uncle, and it turned to be a serious discussion, and the uncle told her, so I said, I can't look at your face. But I led you are married to, one day, myself and my friend went for to social conference in Abuja, they brought some girls, and she happened to be the person, I slept with your wife, he told her, and he got home. That just ended the marriage there. They lived together for about 4 years after that, but there was nothing between them. And the question the guy kept telling everybody, including the pastor, is that, why didn't she tell me? And that how many more things do I know that she's hiding? That if she had told me, I would have gone ahead with the marriage. Some men would have truly. He said, but I would know that she, at least she's been on. He said, I might walk here for 2 days and come back because I really loved her. He said, but getting to know by myself gives me an impression that there might be more dangerous things she's hiding. That's the truth. Amen. Does God say a particular woman is your wife? If no, where is the place of praying and asking God for a wife? There is no particular woman that is your wife. God can say that he can reveal somebody to you as somebody you should marry. Okay, I think they're on the pulpit. Are you with me? What I'm trying to say is that God will not say that if you don't marry her, you have missed my... The will, our will is involved. God can say to you, it's possible. He spoke to me, can tell that that's your wife. Now, when you do the asking and she says no, leave the matter there. Don't go and meet her and say, Iwo. God said you are my wife. You better marry me by force. Otherwise, you are going to hell. Because this is God's choice. No. If you tell her, don't even go and meet her and say that, you see, God said that you are going to be my wife. If God spoke to you, you ask her what you want. I want to marry you. Let God complain. But don't use God to chance people. Are you with me? Just tell her what you want. Amen. Alright? So there's no particular woman. It can lead you to a woman. It can prepare a woman for you, yes. But there's nothing like, if you don't marry her, that is the end of you. You are going to miss God's plan for your life forever. No. I went for a relationship talk, and the pastor said that you can't fall in love, but grow in love. Please explain. Just trying to deal with language. You know, we are people of faith. He doesn't like the word fall. So stand in love. Whatever shall be in love. Whether you fall or you stand or you sit, just be in love. That's the amen. Okay. What should I do? He is very gentle and I'm outspoken. I have to pray almost everything from him. The choice is yours. Do you want the one that talks like yourself? If you are outspoken and is quiet, I think that's a very good balance. Otherwise, the house will be hot or too quiet. So, it's possible. Many times, when a man is very active, the woman is very passive. And for women that are very active, God has well given them men that are passive. But that's the only way there will be peace. I know one pastor, anytime you ask him questions, the wife that will answer. Very tough woman. Wale knows the pastor I'm talking about, because he was in that church. Very tough woman. Even looking at her, people fear like. And then once she now went to read law again. I mean, she...
I was in a meeting one day, Pastor. Today, Bakari just finished a teaching and he said, question time. She just collected the mic and said, you, Pastor Bakari, will just be saying. We were like, ah. That was how she answered. I mean, and the husband was there. The husband was just smiling. And they said that the husband is Pastor Bakari's spiritual son. Can you imagine? He has decided to let peace reign. I listened to one message by Pastor Boju, and he talked about a man who told Pastor Boju that as a Christian, I will never divorce. He said, but I have condemned myself to a lifestyle, he said, a lifetime of sorrow, as far as my wife is concerned. He said, she gave the names of all her children. She chose the school for them. He said, when we started, that was why he said that when you have chance to correct something, you do. He said, when we started dating, she was in charge of relationship. She will detail which cinema they will go to. Even the popcorn they will eat there, she will say which one. Is yellow popcorn. Bring yellow. Somebody will say that, sorry, orange or yellow. Say orange. Give him orange also. And she controlled everything. The guy said to the pastor, he told Pastor, but he said, look, that I could have corrected. He said, but I have decided that I will not divorce her. He said, because the only way to continue now, he just will remain a mumu forever, and I've decided to. Said so. He said on the day of the naming, she brought out names. This is the name. Second born, these are the names. Third born, these are the names. She didn't ask the husband for anyone. Yeah. And Pastor Boy said the same thing. Anytime you ask the man the question and she's there, she's the one that will answer. And we are moving to another apartment. We're asking the man, are you still in that place? No, we are moving around. And the man will just keep quiet. He has just accepted it as a reality. If a man, some men don't like to talk, some men are like that. If you love him and you love it, that way, fine. But it's not a problem. That's what I'm saying. It's not an issue. Some people don't like, we don't have the same temperament. Somebody doesn't like to talk. That's all. Some women don't like to talk also. They are just very calm and quiet. And if you have one like that, if you love it, just leave it like that. You can't force them to be like you. But if you want the one that is talking, then go for the one that is talking. So all of you, you're talking competition with the house. And by the time you have children, hey, from the two of you, talk at him, and then it will be a serious matter. Okay, I think I read that one. What will you do about a guy that gets angry and hibernates? He hardly gets angry, though, but when he does, he closes up. And now, we don't know to what extent his hibernation is. Well, number one, it's still better than the one that shouts or hits. But the bad thing about that is also that it can be a dangerous sign. If there is somebody that withdraws because there is an issue, that withdrawal can go too far. And when you are married, it can actually affect a whole lot of things. So you have to let him know that, see, when you are angry, talk about what is wrong. You don't need to shout, talk about something, but hibernating is not good either. We are here to solve a problem together. So you can't just say, I'm angry, I'm going to your share, and then you don't want to. And you know that people who do that, at times you don't really know what they do behind the scene. And that makes it more dangerous. So tell him to stop hibernating. He should not do that. While you were explaining emotion, you made me understand men. Deceive. Ah. How then are the sincere words and intention deciphered? Now listen. Not everybody. Okay, so don't think that every man is a liar. No, not every man is a liar. And not every man deceives. No. Amen. So, just separate what is real from what is not. I just said that men talk from their sense, not necessarily from their mind. It does not mean that there are no men who don't speak from their hearts. I'm going to tell you this, like, I started with this. The practical step is that it takes a little time at times to unravel some things. I have said the overall principle in courtship, open your eyes and be very observant. Observe trends. A liar cannot perpetually keep lying if you are observant. You will not figure out that he's lying if you have just made up your mind, I'm going to marry this guy. You know, they say the only time you can advise a woman is before she falls in love. Once a woman falls in love, there's nothing you can tell her again.
I have found that to be 100% correct. When a woman feels, I love him, once that emotion is doing her, once she feels that she's in love, there is nothing you can say. You can be a pastor, spiritual head, prophet, apostle. In fact, you can be the high priest of her faith. It won't change anything. Tell her she won't stop. If you talk too much, she will leave you. She won't come to your church or come around you again. I'm a living witness to that. Once a woman has fallen in love, I don't see anything again. You just attend their wedding and part of the whole thing. Because if you talk, they won't invite you for wedding. And you miss the rice. Don't. It's a no-go area. Once you perceive that she has fallen, that's why parents, the only time you can talk before she, once she has fallen in love, everything you say falls here. Nothing. Except the guy does something very bad that devastates her, then she can move. But if a woman feels that she's in love and nothing has happened here, you can't talk her out of it. No matter what you say. Amen. So, that's how to know. Time will let you. So, if you go into a relationship and you don't go with the intention that, okay, I'm going to marry him, I don't care what happens to him. If your eyes are open and you observe, you pray, you love him, you pray, but you observe things going on, you will know if the words don't match the character, you will just know. Amen. Hallelujah. Getting to know one's partner is kind of complicated because most men can't handle people's past. I think most importantly, a lady or man should study his or her partner to know if he's man enough to undo her past before opening up. Yes, I said that. You just don't open up to just anybody. You need to know the seriousness of the person before you do. And really, if you perceive that the person, if you have had a very nasty past, it is advisable to select the kind of man that you get close to. Really. Number one, you yourself go very deep in God. And be sure that the man that you are going to talk to loves you genuinely. If you are getting close to a man and you don't perceive that exceptional love, and you know you've had an exceptional past, it's only an exceptional love that can help you. If it's like a selfish love, the guy will run away. Amen. So that's it. It's important. Very important. I have tried for years to fall in love, but I haven't. I haven't been successful. I have been in a lot of relationships where the lady is the one in love, but I just don't reciprocate it. But I don't know what to do. Okay. What the person is saying is that I don't fall in love. I've been in a lot of relationships. They fall in love with me, but I don't reciprocate the love. It happens. It's because you have not exactly found somebody that you love. You have found ladies who loved you. So, they've been chasing you, and you have not been reciprocating. Wait, don't go into a relationship with somebody only because she loves you, especially if you're a man. A man should go in a relationship with a woman that you are willing to chase and to run after. Many years ago, a lady told me that she loved me and that she prayed and she told me that God wanted us to be together. I didn't feel anything for her. So I told her the truth. That the truth is that you are a very beautiful lady. I told her that that time I knew about two people running after her and she wasn't saying yes to them. I said, but these guys are chasing you and you are saying no to them. As for me, I feel nothing. Nothing for you. See, if you are married, you will see that I just looking at you like this. I feel nothing. So I had to tell myself the truth because I started saying to myself, even if this woman goes to bedroom and removes her clothes and I'm there, it doesn't do me anything. And I'm a very, very sincere person. Marriage can't be like this. So I told her. So if I was going out with that kind of lady, she would be running the relationship. She would be so much in love. But I won't be in love. She will see me and smile, the man. But inside, I'll just be like, you understand? That is why it's important. The other way is still okay when the woman is not the one feeling it, but the man. It's not also a very good thing, but it's still better than when a woman loves a man and the man does not love you. That's a tragedy. It's bad. Praise the Lord. So that person waits till you meet somebody that you are going to meet somebody one day that will sweep you off your feet. It is true. When you do, you will chase that one. And you will reciprocate. your way. I'm a married woman with three kids. My husband is just exactly what I want in a man. But the problem is that after our wedding, he lost his job. Until today, for 10 years, I've always been the breadwinner of the family. But I still love him. What do I do? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom I serve, in this month of May, God will visit that man.
Amen.
It is the will of God for a man to be the breadwinner. God will open a door for him.
Amen.
And provide a job, and the marriage will be healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's my answer to that. If you believe that prayer, your husband will get a job this month. I'm not saying June, in this very May, something mighty will come his way. A big contract will come his way. So can you tell those of us that don't do something on phone or what is? Let me read this. During courtship, what is? Pastor always wants to have the final say in every argument or issue. Even when the guy says, "I'm sorry," she just has to say one more thing. Yeah, some ladies are like that. They just like to talk. Now, this is what I found out, and I want every guy to hear this. Now, ladies, hear me also. It's not right. I want to say this, that women at times think that the more you are able to send out angry words, the more you are able to convey your feeling. You can get to a point where you train yourself that you express how you feel in words. Consequently, you get to a level where if you feel real bad, you use very bad words. Because you want your husband to know that you are feeling very bad. You know, what makes some men hit some women is the same. So, they also, it's a reaction to something. Now, since some men cannot hit their husband, they use very terrible words. And even when the man is begging, they still want to say something again. I want you to know one thing. That you are saying everything does not change mean that will change the man. Say what you want to say. Be constructive in your criticism, which is very important. And do not think that if you talk over talk, that will heal something. It doesn't. Praise the Lord. And I will say to that man that wrote also that, what do you always do to her?
Okay.
That makes her, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yes?
What you asked me to read?
Yes.
So,
I will take three more questions and we pray. We just pray for 5 minutes and we close.
All right. Thank you. Sir, can you tell us the do's and don'ts in terms of phone locking during courtship and during marriage?
In what terms of what?
Phone locking, like locking up your phones from your partner.
Phone locking?
During courtship or during marriage, what can be ignored during courtship? What shouldn't be ignored?
My rule has always...
Like the red lines.
Okay. My rules have always been, why do you have secrets? Listen to me, everybody. Many of you have been listening to me for years. Listen, be a plain person. There is nothing as beautiful as being a plain person. I can leave my phone anywhere because there is nothing on it that is funny. Some of the people at the back here have the password to my email and my Facebook and everything. Why do you want to live in a such a way that you are locking your phone, keeping things? You see, that idea alone will start making the other person to suspect you. Your girlfriend comes to your house and you are palming your phone. She says, "Hello, what is in your hand?" "That is just my phone. How are you?" Even if she wasn't thinking anything before, you are beginning to create grounds for, why are you hiding your phone? You put your phone on the seat, she sits down there, you smile, come back. "How are you?" "This is my phone." And then you put it there. You are creating... What is inside the phone that you are keeping? You see, I'm going to say to people that, remember, we are Christians. We are believers. If you are not ready for a relationship, don't say, what is common with many Christian brothers? It's not that you know that you cannot commit fornication, you cannot do something, but some Christian brothers, they do this. You lead ladies on unnecessarily. It now makes it very difficult for you to make a choice in marriage. A brother spoke to me in this church, and I told him that that's the problem. Why, you ask a lady out, why are you afraid of putting her picture on your DP? You don't want other girls in your office to see. You love her, yes, but I've discovered that you still love other girls also. It's not simply that he's a good guy. But the problem is that he still maintained that friendship with them. He has all of them on his... So, and the lady kept complaining that there's no difference between me and others. They all still call him day and night. And I said to brother, if you don't want to be in a relationship, if you are taking your time to know who to choose, don't ask a lady out. Are you enjoying the fact that all the female staff in your office are calling you? All the females in the church are calling you? On Sunday evening after service, you just want to cruise to some houses and visit some ladies? Fine. As long as you are not committing sin there, it's okay. You can visit anybody. But don't hold a lady to ransom while you are still doing that. Tell them that I am not ready. But what you want to do is that you don't want another man to pick her. At the same time, you have picked her, but you are still sampling others. And that is wrong. That's selfishness. You understand? Nobody is rushing you into a relationship. You have many female friends, and they are all your friends. You like them. On your bed, you want them to come, and they send you messages. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with having friends. There's even nothing wrong with going out with people. You go to eat together. You have friends who take pictures and everything. Fine. What the Bible forbids is sex. If it's not there, there's nothing that you are doing that is wrong. You talk together, you watch film together, you go to cinema, you go to everything, fine. If you are still enjoying that, you are not ready for a relationship, don't ask somebody out. But don't start a relationship with somebody and still try to maintain the same thing with other girls. That's why you start keeping your phones and all those things. If you are not committed to any girl, anybody that looks at your phone, they can't say anything. In fact, you will read for her. You've not asked her out. She already asking you that, sorry, why is this one? Why are you putting your hand on her shoulder? I'll be like, oh, God bless you. Now I know you cannot be my wife. I have not asked you. Are you already asking me why I'm putting my hand on someone's shoulder? What about my hand on her shoulder, on her head? What is your business with that? Are you my wife? No, you are not. So it doesn't concern you. And the same thing, a guy is asking you. He has not asked you out. He's already talking. Yesterday I came to your house by 5 o'clock. Said you went out with her. Who is that guy? See, give him red card straight. You cannot cope with an insecure guy. He will suffocate you. Ask those who have experienced that. A guy is spying a lady, coming to park and look, who is she talking to? If some guys will not get job, why don't you marry someone that will give you rest of? Why are you policing a woman? Imagine my wife is a bank manager and I'm asking her about all the customers. She comes and tells me about some customers. After she comes and says, I want to go and so customer. I'm going to pick her at after 10 in our office before. So there's a meeting, can you come and pick me after 10? And I won't get there and start asking her, so what have I been doing till after 10? And all of this, I'm seeing men here. What do you mean by... Hypertension won't kill some people. You drive out of your house to go and spy a woman. Say, that's the junction. They said that she's... Who are you working with? You call her, you say, well, those boys I'm hearing. That's like the voice of a man. Who is that man there? This is 7:30. What is he doing in your house? And he's calling that courtship. If you are like that, and you marry, I feel so sorry for you. Amen. All right. Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, sir.
We'll all agree that we stop in 10 minutes. Is that okay? Okay. We stop by 6:05. We pray till 6:10 and we go. Just wait. There's public holiday tomorrow.
Okay, my question is about secrecy.
Yes, ma'am.
You are laying emphasis on being open about everything. But I'll give a scenario. In 2007, a friend of mine got married. And
yes,
I remember
ma'am.
When I went to visit her, when she was telling me some certain things about her family, even things we both discussed that I felt she should not let anyone know. I discovered that she was telling her husband everything. Everything, including what was happening in her own family life. And I'm not married, but I told her that I don't think it's everything you tell the man, especially about family, because when quarrels come up, both of you start using your family background and then you throw it at each other, just trying to bring pain in. Subsequent visit, she just told me then, nothing to hide, blah, blah, blah. But my subsequent visit to her, I found out that she was already doing that. She didn't tell me anything, but I discovered. And then, you know, something like maybe when you go for naming or something, you give the baby something, she doesn't discuss that with the husband, she keeps that, it happens. And then, her last visit, I found out that the joint account they were both operating, she had a secret account which the man didn't know anything about, and she was... Now, my question is on secrecy. Things like this do happen. And to me, if you ask someone like me, I'm not married, but I'm already feeling it that there are certain things you don't discuss with partners. What do you say on that, sir?
That's a very good question. I understand perfectly. See, how am I supposed to say this? Everything depends on who you are getting married to. Remember, it still falls to that law of compatibility. Where you are, where the person is. I'll give you an example. Please, everybody pay attention. Listen to this one. This is the only time I did this. A lady came to me one day and she wanted to get married. And she told me, some of the pastors here, they know that I told them, but some of them, they don't know the lady, or some of them don't know. And she came in, she came to give me a wedding IV. And as we're talking, I perceived by the Spirit that there was a problem. So I said, let's pray. And as we're praying, the presence of God was there. So she started telling me that I feel I should tell you. So I said, so what is the problem? Then she told me that. Then she mentioned this very popular pastor somewhere. And she told me that the pastor came to Sheraton one day. I went to visit him. I used to be in his church. And then we're now talking. And then the pastor asked me to sleep over in the night. And said we had sex. And I went there the following day, the same thing. And she said that now, should I tell this guy I'm about to marry, that it happened before I started dating this guy. Just about the time we're getting close and he was going to ask me out. That was when I had that sex with that pastor. And that, should I tell him? My normal self would have been like, yes. But I just felt deep down inside my spirit. I said, And I told that I don't say this. I said, but don't. I said, thank God it happened before you started the relationship. Don't. Now, she kept that and she did not. Years after, she went to a city and she's a medical practitioner. She went to a city and her seven other medical people were taking pictures together. And one of their classmates in school came into the country. That city, they met at the airport in that city. They actually went to Abuja and landed at the airport. That one now came into the country and met them. They also at the airport. I know they went for a conference from Lagos, Ibadan. They went to a conference in Abuja. Now, that colleague came from abroad. So he saw his classmate like, oh, you guys, what are you doing? He said, oh. And then they hugged each other, all of them. About seven ladies and that guy just came into London from South Africa also. So they stood together to take a picture. Seven people in a picture. And the husband saw the picture after that on her phone and started. He went as far as going to meet the girl's father. That the girl went for a conference in Abuja. That she didn't go for a conference. That she went to sleep with a man in Abuja. A picture of seven people. Can you see how insecure some guys can be? If he brought the picture to me, I would give him a knock on his head. That this is madness. All these other six ladies, are they not somebody's wife? They all held hands together and took a picture. But because she told him many years ago, when they were in school, the guy was chasing her. And she never said, yeah, but the guy really liked her till the guy traveled out. Her husband is here to recover from a guy that liked her in school. Now, when he spotted that guy at the airport, even though he saw several people, he said, that's the boss you went to meet. And made a serious issue out of it. If she had told the guy about what happened between her and that pastor, they would have been signing the paper by now, divorce. You understand? Now, I said that to say that. That is why it goes back to what we said earlier. Marry somebody that is spirit-filled. If you tell the person the old details of your family, nothing at stake. But if you know, I'm leaving this gap. If you know that it does not look like the guy can undo some things, don't tell him. Really. Tell him the important things about the two of you. But you might not say the old details. This is why I say, did you get that? Why I say you should say important things is that when discoveries are made, like I said earlier, if he gets to know some things by himself and they are big things, you have destroyed trust in that marriage. And he has every legal right to stand and never trust you again if he discovers by himself. Because when elders are even intervening, all they will keep telling you also is that why didn't you tell him? At least it's your husband. So you might not go into details, but you should mention
so that you can be saved, at least give an idea of what has happened. Really. Praise the Lord. Amen. So that is what happens. People keep, if you think your husband is not good at handling money, or you can't trust him with money, keep your money. I understand all those things, really. But I'm just saying that in a house where there's absolute trust and depression, and if the two of you are really striving to make it, you don't need all that. She knows where I keep money in the house. And yesterday, the last thing I said to her when I was leaving the house is that you're always stealing my money. I just said it jokingly. I used her fuel, so she was asking for money for fuel. So I told her that, well, you've already collected in advance. That many times I just put money in my drawer, it's just disappearing. I said, I now tell her, you've even got to the point that you, before you used to tell me that I just took 5,000 from your door. He said, you don't say it again now. You just take. I'll just get there, lift the thing, it's lighter. I'll be like, I don't. I cannot. She's First Bank manager Ojodu. My account is First Bank Ojodu. And she's in charge of the account. I tell her, let me do transfer to this person, to that person. You see, if you don't want a cat to hit your meat, tie it to his neck. She manages the account. So if a woman tries to date me now, she will suffer. Because the money is in the hand of your rival. So that makes it very, very dutiful. You understand? So it's not possible. It's your rival that's giving the money and she won't give a dime for such a thing. So that's the way it is. Where there is absolute, but if you think, really, if you pray about that, you look at the man and you do not really sincerely think that he can undo certain things, maybe at the beginning don't, keep praying. And if you still think you cannot undo it, keep it to yourself, really. Because there are some things you can say that can create serious problems. Truly, some men are boys. That's the truth. It's not every man that is a man. The last question. Sincerely, we both know that premarital sex is wrong, but we indulge in it. We both love and share true, deep values. We are both scared to lose each other, but we are not financially ready to settle down. What can we do? Stop. Ask God to forgive you and stop sleeping together. That's what you're going to do. When you do, start working on building wealth. Nobody was born rich. Things will happen. Some were born to rich family, yes, but nobody was born rich. When God is going to get involved with what you do, you have to play by the rules. You have to follow the principle. I know that when you love somebody so much and there is chemistry between you, it can lead to some things. But that is where discipline is called for. That is why we sign marriage certificate. We sign to obtain the good. It is after signing that you are free to hone each other's body. But doing it ahead of time is like violating what we have known the word of God to be like. So we do not do that. So you have to stop first. Just stop. You see, I shared with them many years ago on Love Affair that the energy that you use to kiss and to do romance is the same energy that you put into creativity. I have found that when you born for a woman, you love her so much and you refuse to touch her, redirect that energy into business or anything, you will flourish mightily. Take that from me, I am telling you. Really. The same adrenaline that is rushing into sex is the same thing that is for creativity. Rechannel it. Don't do that. Don't go that way. If you have done that before, God is not condemned. Just say it is enough. You see, anytime a Christian repents, the record is changed. And the record is changed. But if a Christian says, because the record is changed, I'm going to continue to do this, you're weakening your soul completely. So at any moment you hear a word like this, just make the necessary adjustment and don't look back again. Praise the Lord. In a situation whereby you have experienced a serious heartbreak before and you are finding it difficult to love or trust again, what can you do? You need to listen to this morning's message on picture. First of all, pray. Let the negative picture go, really. Truly, the most terrible thing about failure is not the event itself. It's that it leaves you with a feeling that you are a failure in life. Did you get that? When you fail an exam, you can be afraid of writing an exam again. When exams are coming, you start doubting your ability to succeed. Those who have failed in business, man, you borrow money to do a business and the whole thing goes down. When they give you money again, just see fear here. And once there is fear, the thing is likely to happen again. I shared in the morning, the greatest battle you can fight in your life is against your mind. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God in pulling down strongholds. They have used it for demons and deliverance. It has nothing to do with demons. Casting out strongholds and imagination. There are things inside. There are things that we think. Imaginations, thoughts must be dealt with. Once there is a thought, if you are afraid of marriage, you will marry wrongly. If you are afraid of marriage, if we think about marriage, you are always afraid that, oh, I hope I won't make mistake. The fear of mistake is the reason why people make mistake. God didn't create you to be afraid. Shall we rise? If I'm not taking your question, don't worry. This is not the last edition. Everybody rise. And I want to end this meeting. When we pray for about 4 or 5 minutes, I'm going to end this meeting by asking everybody to greet as many people. So I'm going to beg you, don't leave. Just wait for 5 minutes. We waited this long. I want you to meet people. I want you to greet people. Join your hands with your neighbor and I want us to pray. I will take just one prayer. 3 minutes and everybody will pray. Just pray. Wherever you are, from yourself to all other Christian homes. When I say you might not be married yet, but you can pray ahead for your home. Just pray for a healthy home, a peaceful home, and a marriage that is an example on earth. Begin to pray. And I mean, pray from the depths of it. Say, Father, in the